Good morning.
Good morning.
Any first-time visitors to the bridge? Would you be brave enough to raise your hand? Any first-time visitors? I guess I'm the only one, the first-time visitor, at least on this end of things. Hi, I'm Pastor Nate, Nate Strobel. I am privileged to be the fourth guy here sharing God's word with God's people. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Privileged to be here with you and to share a message from God's word with you. Under our thought this weekend of living the revolution, changing our world, changing God's world by being who and living who He has made us to be. And today we'll focus in on our new identity and where we stand in the Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's open up with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to focus our attention today on your truth that flows out of your heart through the life and work of Jesus, the world's Savior. Help us to know him, help us to love him, help us to serve him, and help us to grow this day as we look at your word. We pray in your name, and all God's people said, Amen. We look at the book of Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul to people living in ancient Turkey. Think modern-day Turkey, Galatia, ancient Turkey. And Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in our Lord and Savior Jesus, so how is your version of a safe place working out for you? Don't we all have at least one or two of them? Remember as kids, we always had safe places, safe people, safe routines, didn't we? And chances are, no matter how old we are, not much life changes. We have our safe routines. Maybe your safe place is finances. You have your budget and your financial planner and your 403b and your Roth IRA, and does anybody have that magical 3 to 6 months of income set aside for a rainy day that you're supposed to have? Are you set? Maybe your safe place is your profession. You have your college degree. You have an advanced degree. You are marketable. You have a professional network. You have the respect of your colleagues. You, well, continuing ed is your middle name. You are sharp and on top of your game. Maybe your safe place is your health. 30 minutes of cardio every day, a little cross training thrown in, probiotics, vitamins, a little bit of Fitbit, little bit of lose it, you know your target heart rate. And for those of us who are older, we're getting good at those annual physicals with the doctor just to keep us going, right? Is it your dream to somehow be Teflon man or Teflon woman? Nothing sticks to you. Or have you lived enough life to know the thorns and thistles that God says are ours from Eden's curse through the first sin way back in the day in the garden? Maybe you know that a financial crash like 2008 can strip away the dream and bind our hands and our budget. Job loss due to downsizing or your age can burst that professional balloon you've been spending years blowing up and building, and fear comes into your life. And then there can be the pain in the chest, the aches in the joints or in the bones, and the thinning of the hair. And all of a sudden, mortality is nudging up or bursting onto the scene of your safe place. And what about that mortality? Knowing that you will not live forever, knowing that death is around some corner in your future, And sensing that deep down, sensing that someday we will all meet our God, we will all meet our Maker. Let me ask you this, what does your safe place look like for that? Some people feel good about the future because, well, they are striving to be moral. You know those Ten Commandments. We look around us in the world and we think to ourselves, well, I could be like him or I could be like her, but I'm not. I'm better. Some people feel good about the future because they've convinced themselves that somehow their opinion matters. And that God is not judging. God is not judging. He is reasonable. And he really does love us all just as we are, so they think. Until the hair thins, the joints ache, a loved one that is close to us passes away, and all of a sudden our mortality is very real and very close. And all of a sudden, the firm ground of our own goodness we thought we were standing on doesn't quite feel so secure anymore. We remember the sins we have committed. We see the faces of people who know our sins. And if they know our sins, well, then God knows our sins. And part of me says, part of me knows that God expects, no, he demands more of me than a little bit of love. He expects a lot of love, perfect love for him and for others. He is not satisfied with good enough or better than you. And so, my friends, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the human experience of people apart from God. But most important this day, welcome to this house of God, this place of God, where God is going to tell us boldly, rejoice in the person I have gifted you to be. In my Son I have made you new, and in baptism I have given you new clothes to wear. I have dressed you for success. Real quick commercial. Any Star Wars fans in here? Yeah, give it up for Star Wars. We can do that. It's not of God, but it sure is fun. My wife and I are going to go this week. We haven't seen the new one yet. Did you know that Yoda was Greek? You didn't know that, did you? You see, good Greek always puts the most important words up front. So think about it.
Fearful you are, Skywalker.
Most important words up front, right? Listen to our text, and don't stream Yoda. Stream the Spirit, but our text in good, a little bit wooden Greek. All sons of God you are through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as into Christ were baptized, with Christ have clothed yourselves. Now let's slow that down and hear it again. All sons of God you are through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as into Christ were baptized, with Christ have clothed ourselves. All sons of God through faith. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And it's not meant to be a trick question. But what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Does your faith provide you with a sense of safety and of joy? You know, Jesus once said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He once said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Father said of his Son, the blood of my Son cleanses you from sin, all sin. You know, a long time ago, there was a man named Job who confessed his faith this way. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and on the last day he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And then there's that most known favorite passage of the Christian message. God so loved the world that he gave into death his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. My friends, that sounds a lot like all of our eggs in one basket, doesn't it? A safe place, anchored in one person, but not in you, not in me, not in our efforts, but anchored in Jesus Christ. It is as if the Spirit drew a circle on the ground with the blood of Jesus, labeled it Jesus for salvation, and then planted us in that circle through faith and declares us to be new. New people, sons of God, our text says. No longer sons of Brian and Amy, daughters of John and Mary. Because then we are children with limits, children of sin who will die. No, we are sons of God. And my friends, what a deal. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, God says we stand in Jesus and all that he is. In Jesus, there is no fear. In Jesus, there is no memory of what I have done. In Jesus, there is his blood and there is his forgiveness. In Jesus, death is just a new beginning. Now, raise your hand if you do bad things. Now, raise your hand if you are a sinner. And now, before you lower your hands, look around the room and ask yourself, who's the worst sinner in this room that I know? Yeah, when I look at Nathan Strobel and my circle on the geography of this planet that God allows me to exist in, and I look at Nathan Strobel and I think of all that I have done, and I think of all the things that I think, and that if he knew I thought that, or if she knew I thought that, it'd feel so hurt. And when I realize that God knows all of those things, and that God knows Nathan Strobel better than Nathan Strobel knows Nathan Strobel, then all of a sudden, standing in my circle isn't quite so comfortable or so safe anymore. But God says, stand in my Son. Stand in Jesus and all that he is. And he takes away all of that Nathan and instead leaves himself and the status of actually being a son of the household, a son of God, a son of the King. Incredible. But can you and I be sure that God's statement is true? Well, if God is real, if his love is real, if Jesus is real, then his promises are real, and faith takes God at his word. And God says to us, if you stand in my Son through faith and all that he is, you are a son, you are a daughter of the King, heirs with him of life eternal. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the firstborn son of the household, which makes him our big brother. And big brothers, God willing, always show us the way, the right way. He's shown us the way, how to live forever with him through faith, and how and why to live here and now. He's shown us where to stand in him, in his blood, in the forgiveness of sins, where our memories no longer exist of our sin, where our conscience is no longer condemned. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. The big brother who sets the tone of the household, who has said, I have come that they may have life and have it in its fullness. Believe in me and you will live even though you die, he says. So, sons of God. I think that's pretty awesome. But if you are a son of the household, don't you kind of want to wear the family bling, the family crest, the family colors? You're always connected to what's really important, right? Well, in ancient Rome, that Roman culture, if you were a son of the household, you really didn't assume that role, that status of the son of the household until you were about 15. And at age 15, you finally got rid of the pedagogue, the tutor, the person who accompanied you for the last 15 years, helping you walk a straight path, and all of a sudden you received the toga. And you were a Roman man, a son of the household. Paul picks up on that thought, it seems, and is pointing us in that direction in the picture when he refers to our sonship and then connects it to our baptism. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. What is the blessing of baptism? What is the benefit of that simple water applied in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? So simple, so simplistic. Wow. Is baptism a nice ritual, a church thing? One of those things that parents do to commit themselves to raising their kids in the church? Yes, but no, it's so much more. When we talk about baptism, it can be good to refer to the one who gave it, the one who owns it, God Himself. Kind of like when the church gathers for Holy Communion, it's called Lord's Supper. There's this thing on the end, apostrophe S, the Lord's Supper. It's His meal, it's His gift, it's His blessing for us to lay out for us and to inform us about. So it is with baptism. And here in our text, the Spirit of God states that in baptism, we are given a new set of clothes, spiritual clothes. Rather like Nike, Hollister, Forever 21, but not really. For in our baptisms, we are given Jesus to wear. He is our brand. He is our logo. He is the one we put on for the first day of school. He's the one we put on for that first date and for every date. He's the one we put on for our wedding day and every day. And He will be the one that we are wearing when we do stand before our Father for judgment one day. And Jesus is the one we are still wearing when we don't feel so free of our sins. And when we don't feel dressed for success. So in the dark of night, when sleep is escaping you and worries are creeping into your heart and into your mind, remember to look down at your pajamas, at what you're wearing. And He will say to you, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In the reality of our mortality, when the day actually comes that we know we are dying, and we've never died before, and that's a bit scary, look down at your logo wear, what you are wearing. And He will say to us, "In all things, I am at work for the good of those who love Me, and I will bring you safely home, O son, O daughter of the King." And in those days, in those moments when our conscience just will not shut up and the memory of our sins keep flooding into our minds, then look down at your spirit wear. And He will remind you, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm in that freedom, O son, O daughter of the King, heir of the household. So, safe places, How's it going for you? You know, it doesn't really matter. God has blessed you with his gifts. He just asks of us to be faithful with those gifts, and he'll take care of the rest. God reminds us to look where we are standing in Jesus Christ and his blood and all of his promises, and today and tomorrow and always are taken care of. And the Spirit of God reassures us each and every day through our baptisms that we are dressed for success, that we are dressed in our Savior Jesus. And so each and every day, you and I are privileged to stand before our God and say to him, I thank you, my God, that you have made me free in Jesus. I thank you, my God, that you have clothed me in my Jesus through the waters of holy baptism. I thank you, my God, that you have given me a freedom that no one can take away, that will last, that will stand the test of time, and that will carry me safely home. And so, dear friends, in our earthly walks, when we come away from this morning and we walk back out into God's world, we take with us our Savior Jesus. We take with us a new identity. We take with us the clothing of our Savior Jesus, and we walk redeemed on this earth, sharing him with the world. He's a difference maker. And so God encourages us today, be free, be clothed, live and believe with joy. And to that, all of God's people can say, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your holy name on this day that you have us gathered in your presence, that we are gathered around your word, and that we are free to approach your throne, washed clean in the blood of Jesus, clothed in his rightness, clothed in his holiness, and that because of him, we never need to be afraid. No matter what happens in all of the safe places in life that we all have, nothing that happens there can trump what has happened in our safest place, that you have given us our Savior Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins, to wash us clean, and that can never, will never change. Thank you, God, that I can live for you. Thank you, God, that I can die in you. And thank you, God, that I will rise again in Jesus, my Savior. So thank you for making me new. Thank you for clothing me in Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of being a son, an heir of the household of God. We pray these things in the name of our Jesus. And all his people say, amen.